Certainly is a wonderful blessing to be back here at Macedonia this morning, and we're so thankful to be here. Appreciate the kind invitation. And I'll echo what Brother Virgil was saying about the hearts and voices being lifted up in praise to the Lord, and how thankful we are for good song leaders and good folks singing in the pew. There was a time where I did all the song leading at Providence, and we prayed for song leaders, and the Lord answered that prayer. And now we have numerous song leaders, so that if I lead the singing, I'm a little rusty because I don't do it as much anymore. But it is a great blessing, and not one to be taken for granted. Such a wonderful blessing to be here. Appreciate the sweet introductory remarks by Elder Heron and his sweet, humble prayer. And we appreciate and are so thankful to the Lord for already being in our midst as we've sing songs of praise to Him. I've had this on my mind for numerous days and hope and trust it's of the Lord, and been praying to the Lord for guidance. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And in this beautiful chapter, we'll see, I believe, a portrait that the Lord gives us of His darling Son, the Lord Jesus. We're going to see really four main characters in this chapter. One is Abraham, whose master and whose father, which is very emblematic of God the Father. We see his son Isaac, who I believe is very emblematic of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. We'll see Rebekah, who's going to marry Isaac, which I think is a strong picture of Isaac, is the bride of Christ, who he loves so much. And then we see the servant of the master, which I believe is indicative of the gospel minister. And this servant has an important message to bring, and we'll see all of these things come to fruition. So I believe in this wonderful and beautiful chapter in the Word of God, we have these beautiful pictures drawn. Now, we as old Baptists don't care much for the pictures that men seek to draw the Lord Jesus, and they usually get them all wrong as to the way that we don't know what he looked like, but we know from some of the pictures we've seen he did not look like that.
Yeah.
But when the Lord paints a picture of his darling son in the Word of God, it's a beautiful picture. So we'll see some beautiful pictures, I believe, that the Lord painted in this chapter. And we'll also see some very practical things that I believe the Lord gives us in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
It begins by saying, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things."
Mm.
Now here's Abraham, who's a very old man, who's looking back on his life, and he's seeing the blessings of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have to be old and well stricken in years to look back on our life and to see the blessings.
Amen.
Of the Lord. And we need to do that. We need to stop from our busy lives and to just think, how many blessings has the Lord blessed me with?
That's right.
"And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house," and by the way, it doesn't tell you this servant's name. We could glean it from other portions of Scripture. But here in this chapter, the servant of the master is not named, because the story isn't about the servant of the master. It's about the master. And as gospel ministers, what we do today is not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about the master.
Amen.
And as Brother Heron so ably said, we come to worship him, and our focus is upon him. "So Abraham said unto the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughter of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So here Abraham is very concerned that his son Isaac would have a good wife. And that's good for us as mamas and daddies to care who our children would marry. And for them to want, for us to pray that the Lord would bless and lead them to somebody in God's family. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? So as we as mama and daddies pray for our children, and as our children, as you pray for who the Lord would lead you to as a husband or as a wife, you want to be led to someone that together you can serve the Lord even better than you could just by yourself. I feel like Sister Emily has been such a blessing to me, and in our union together, I've been able to serve the Lord better than I could have without her. And that's a godly marriage. And Abraham was very concerned that Isaac would have a godly wife and to not be of the family of the world, but to be of the family of God. He said, she needs to be of our family. And the servants got a very important question, because what Abraham is commanding the servant to do is to go some 500 miles away and go to a woman that's never met Isaac and to convince her and her daddy to bring her all the way back to come and marry Isaac. Now you just stop and think about that. I remember when Brother John Anthony Crawford first asked me if he could speak to Anna Lee and that they could court. And, you know, people kept asking me, well, did you scare him? And I did show him my full gun cabinet the first time he came to the house. But honestly, he was so scared on his own, I didn't have the heart to scare him anymore. Then he was scared. But he comes from Florida to Mississippi, and they now live about 30 minutes from us, very close. What would I have said if he had come and said, I'm going to take your daughter 500 miles away? It may have been a little more difficult on old daddy. So here Abraham is saying, you go 500 miles away and you find a wife for Isaac and you bring her all the way back to marry a man she's never seen.
Yeah.
Brother John Anthony and Sister Anna Lee had gotten to know each other well. They knew of their great love for the Lord together and of their faithfulness and the truth. And there's a lot of unknowns here, but I'm going to tell you, God will take care as the servant of the Master walks in the Lord's way. And that'll be a theme of this as we continue on. But the servant asked a good question. I'm not going to read all of this scripture. I encourage you to read the entire chapter, every word. It's a beautiful chapter. But for the sake of time, I'll summarize that the servant of the Master has a question. He says, what if she doesn't want to come with me? Shall I take Isaac and take him out of the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, which is a strong picture of the church? Shall I take Isaac away from the promised land to go to where she is? And Abraham clearly says no. You know, if we're blessed to be in the promised land and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where we need to be. And it's a great blessing to be here, and we don't need to be going anywhere else. I love what Boaz tells Ruth, and Boaz is a strong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Boaz tells Ruth, don't glean in any other field. He said, don't even look in another field, but you'll find what you need in my field. And I'll tell you, as born-again children of God, and as those that have been blessed to believe in the truth of the finished work of Christ, there's no other field we need to look in. But the Lord has blessed us to have the great blessings of the promised land of God in this field. What a blessing that is. And the Lord also tells him this in verse 7, or Abraham does, the Master. He tells the servant, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and sware unto me, unto thy seed, will I give this land, the one that blessed us to be in this promised land, he shall send his angel before thee. And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. The master tells the servant, the Lord's going to go before thee. He's going to send his angel before thee, and he's going to bless. And you are going to find a wife for Isaac, because the Lord's going to bless you to find a wife. And I'm going to tell you, as a servant of the master, number one, I don't want to go anywhere the Lord didn't send me.
No.
I felt when I was invited here that the Lord was sending me here, or I wouldn't be here. I want to go to places where the Lord sends me, yeah, and not go to the places where I don't feel he does send me. It doesn't always mean, if you don't feel sent to a place, that there's anything wrong with that place, but you need to follow the Holy Spirit of God. And the Lord is telling the master, Abraham is telling his servant, the Lord's going to bless. The Lord's going to send his angel before thee to bless you. And I'm sure that comforted the servant of the master. That was a big job he had to do.
Yeah.
Go 500 miles to convince a young lady to come back with him, a man she had never met, to go marry a man she had never met 500 miles away. That's a big task. Sometimes the Lord may give us big tasks in our life.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, if he blesses it, it'll be blessed. And the Lord's going to bless this in a wonderful, in a magnificent way. But he tells him, he said, if the woman's not going to follow you, though, you're clear from this my oath. He's telling the servant, your responsibility is to deliver the message.
Yeah.
And you leave the results to God.
Right.
And so it is today. God's gospel ministers are responsible to deliver the message of truth from the word of God that the Lord has led them and blessed them to deliver, and we leave the results to God.
Right.
And that's in good hands with the Lord. So he goes and he travels this whole distance. And in verse 10 it says, the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. He arose and went to Mesopotamia and unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So here the servant is going, and we see some of the richness of the master. Abraham is rich. He's going to take 10 camels. That was an incredible amount of wealth to have 10 camels.
Yeah.
And the Lord has put in the hands of his servant the riches of his master. Now I'm going to tell you, the gospel minister is blessed to proclaim the riches of the master.
Amen.
The Lord has blessed us so greatly, and we serve a Lord. Our master is rich.
Yes.
He's rich in grace. In Ephesians chapter 1, I think it's about verse 7, and speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Yeah.
We serve a master that is rich in grace. The Apostle Paul would write to the church at Corinth, and he would say, for you know the grace of God, how that, and speaking of the Lord Jesus, how that he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. So again, it speaks of the richness of our master, of the richness of our Lord. In Romans chapter 9, it'll tell us, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Now, I can't quote that verse without making this point. The Lord did not fit those vessels of wrath to destruction. That word fitted is a passive word. God did not fit the vessels of wrath for destruction, but they were fitted by their own depravity,
yeah,
to destruction. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory? He is rich in glory.
Amen.
That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy he had before prepared unto glory. Now that word prepared is not passive, it's active. Because the Lord has actively prepared you and I as his precious bride unto glory. Amen. So we see all these scriptures conveying to us the richness and the vastness of our master.
Yeah.
And part of the message of the servant of the master is to tell others how rich and how great and how wondrous our God is.
Amen.
So the servant of the master goes to the meeting place. He knows at evening there's going to be women coming to draw water.
Yeah.
And if he's going to try to find a wife for Isaac, that's a pretty good place to go.
Right.
Where the women are going to be drawing water. So he goes to that place, and the servant realizes this job is so much bigger than me. I just don't have what it takes to do what the master's called me to do. And I'll tell you, gospel ministers have certainly felt that. Lord,
yep.
Why did you call me?
That is true.
Lord, I'm not up to the task that you called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do if you're a minister or if you're not a minister? And the Lord's called you to do something and what you feel called to do that's consistent with the Word of God and consistent with what the Lord has said. It's just way bigger than you are. What do? We do what this servant did.
Mm-hmm.
He prays unto God Almighty. Let's listen to what he said. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Notice that as this servant prays, it's not about him. It's about the master. He said, Lord, show kindness unto my master Abraham. Lord, give me good speed this day. Lord, give me the strength to do what my master has asked me to do. And look how quickly the Lord's going to answer this prayer. You know, there's some prayers I pray. We mentioned praying for our children that the Lord would lead them to the right husband or our sons to the right wives. And we may pray that prayer for years and years and years. And then one day we see a sweet realization of the answer to that prayer. And I rejoice in those prayers that we prayed for years and years and years. And years later, we see the answer to that prayer. But I also rejoice in prayers like he's praying. Because let's see what happens and see how quickly the prayer is answered. He prays a very specific prayer. He said, Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed. He said, I know I don't have sense enough to pick out a wife for Isaac, but Lord, you do. You show me the one. And I'll tell you, when I went to find a wife, I knew Mark Quarles didn't have enough sense to pick out a wife. I said, Lord, you show me the one that you would have for me. And the Lord blessed me and answered that prayer and gave me a wonderful and beautiful wife on the inside and out. The Lord can and does answer prayers. He said that I may know that thou showed kindness unto my master. Again, it's not about the servant. He said kindness to the master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out. Before he had even finished the prayer, the answer to his prayer had appeared. Behold, Rebecca comes.
Yeah.
What a blessing when we get on our knees before a holy God and say, Lord, this task is way bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. And we get up on our knees and we pray for guidance and we pray for strength. And before we've even finished praying, the Lord has answered our prayer.
Yeah.
What a great and glorious blessing.
Amen.
The Bible said, and the damsel was very fair to look upon. A virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and she filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. When she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drink for all his camels. The Lord answered very specifically the servant's detailed prayer. She did exactly like the servant had prayed the wife for Isaac should do.
Yeah.
And look at the diligence of Rebekah. Again, remember, Rebekah's a picture of us, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, Rebekah's a hard worker. It thrills my heart when I pull up here and I see all the activity going on here at Macedonia Church. And members of the Bride of Christ working to do things that need to be done in the service of the Lord. That's a blessing.
That is right.
And look at what Rebekah's doing. Rebekah's working hard. You know, I've done some study. They say that one camel, in just a few minutes can drink about 30 gallons of water. Now, how many camels did he have? He had 10. That's 300 gallons of water. Well, I think in rationale of 5 gallon buckets. Well, 100 gallons of water, that's 25 gallon buckets. You multiply that by 3, and y'all forgive me if my math gets off, I think that's 65 gallon buckets.
Yeah.
Think of the work that Rebekah did for this man she's never met.
Yeah.
And you know, the Lord Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount to be willing to do more than you ask. He said, if a man try to get compel you to walk with him a mile, he said, walk with him twain, 2 miles. Do more than you've been asked. You know, our flesh don't want to do that. But I'll tell you, if the Lord's asked us to do something, we ought to be willing to do more than we're asked. Look at the diligence and the hard work of Rebekah. Look at the way the Lord answered the servant of the master's very detailed prayer. Let it be the woman. When I ask her to drink, she not only gives me to drink, but she gets it for my camels also. And the Lord blessed that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the servant of the master, verse 21, and the man wondering at her. He was in amazement. It's already been said that Rebekah was very beautiful. And I'm going to tell you, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is beautiful.
Yes, she is.
Now, I'm going to tell you, we weren't beautiful before the Lord got to us. In Ezekiel chapter 16, it says we were polluted in our own blood, and we were cast away, and we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But let's look at the description after that.
Yes.
When the Lord came to us, what it says. Verse 8, it gives some language in Ezekiel 16 of the Lord. This is figurative language of the Lord marrying us, his bride. Verse 8, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness,
Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, a marriage covenant, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. Yea, I truly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil, and I clothed thee also with broidered work, shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. And I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets on thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. And thou, thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. Thou wast exceeding beautiful. Thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. What's the Lord saying? What's the kingly husband saying? I gave thee of my beauty. I gave thee of my righteousness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. The bride of Christ is beautiful, and the bride of Christ is glorious, because the Lord has given us of his beauty, and the Lord has given us of his righteousness. And here's the servant of the Lord looking at the bride, the one that would be the bride of Isaac, and he wonders at her. And I'll tell you, when I look at the bride of Christ, I wonder at the bride. Yeah. How beautiful the Lord has made her.
Right.
And how much he has done for her. But when he found her, she was polluted in her own blood.
Yeah.
She wasn't even alive. But when the Lord got through with her, she's exceeding beautiful. And she prospered into a kingdom. What a blessing. The servants. Says the man wondering at her held his peace to wit the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And you may say, listen, servant, the Lord just answered your prayer very specifically. Why are you wondering if this is the answer to your prayer? Well, there's still a piece of information the servant and the master doesn't know. Because one of the qualifications, the master said, she's got to be of our family. And Abraham doesn't know that. I mean, the servant of Abraham doesn't know that yet. So he then begins to ask her, and it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands, of 10 shekels, weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said, moreover, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worship the Lord.
Yes, he did.
See, now we know she's of our family. Mm-hmm. This is Abraham's brother's daughter. So he now knows the Lord has surely answered our prayer.
Amen.
And look, the servant of the master is giving riches already to Rebekah. What are they riches from? They're not the servant's riches. He just has them. They're riches of the master.
Mm-hmm.
But the servant of the master is blessed to give them out.
Yeah.
And you know, the gospel minister, we carry great riches.
Right.
But the riches are not our own.
No, it's not.
But the Lord blesses us to give them out as we
Amen.
Preach the gospel.
Praise God.
You know, as we read through this chapter, and you're going to see other times where the servant of the master is giving riches to Rebekah and to her family. And really those riches are coming from the husband her eyes have never seen.
Now, if you look throughout all of Genesis 24, you're not going to see an appearance of Isaac. You'll see Isaac talked about, but you're not going to see an appearance of Isaac till the end of the chapter. And you know, as the bride of Christ here, I trust that even today, through an eye of faith, we've seen glimpses of glory of our husband today.
Amen.
But these physical eyes have not seen him.
No,
1 Peter chapter 1, Peter would write of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
So our eyes have not seen him yet.
No.
But yet we've been blessed to get a lot of riches.
That's true.
From our husband that these eyes have never seen. One day we'll see him, and we'll get to that, Lord willing, at the end of the chapter. But he's blessed us with great riches from a husband these eyes have never seen. The servant asked a question. Has your daddy got room for us to reside in? Has he got room for us? It's very interesting. We went to a wedding yesterday, and I enjoy going to weddings because it reminds me of our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we his bride. So I like going to weddings. And it's a good reminder of what matters most.
Yeah.
And whenever I go to a wedding, I'm reminded of the first wedding that ever happened. And that was in the Garden of Eden, where God himself brought Eve to Adam.
Yes, he did.
And the Lord's still in the business of doing that.
That's it.
As we pray and as we seek his face. But you know, as I have presided over wedding ceremonies, I'm reminded of what all roles that God took in that first wedding ceremony. You see, God was the father of the groom. He was Adam's father. But he was also the father of the bride. He was Eve's father. And he also is the one that presided over the first wedding ceremony. So you see God taking all those roles. So not only is God, we have a picture of God here as the father of Isaac, Abraham, but also the father of Rebecca. He said, is there room in your father's house? He said, oh, there's room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we think about the birth of Christ, and we're reminded of that very familiar passage when Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem and they're looking for a place, and it said there's no room for the Lord Jesus in the inn. Aren't you thankful there's room in the Father's house?
Yeah.
He said, there's room in my Father's house, and there's plenty of food, and there's plenty of provender for your animals. There's everything you need in my Father's house. And I'll tell you, we're blessed to come and worship God the Father, and there's plenty of room in his house. It's a welcoming place to come.
Yes.
And we'll find what we need in his house. The servant of the master is overwhelmed that God's answered his prayer. And in verse 26 it says, the man bowed down his head and he worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. And I being in the way, the Lord hath led me to the house of my master's brethren. He said, I being in the way. Whose way? The servant's way? No. The Lord's way. And I'm going to tell you, we'll find great blessings if we be found in the Lord's way.
Amen.
Verse 48, as the servant of the master is telling the story to Rebekah's family of what all he has experienced and the account of him meeting Rebekah, he'll say, the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way. You see, if we're in the way, the Lord's way, it's always going to be the right way. Now, if Mark Quarles tries to go off on his own way, it's going to be the wrong way. If we try to go after the ways of the world, it's going to be the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, if we stick with thus saith the Lord, and we stick with what the Lord's told us to do, it's going to be the right way every single time.
Amen.
And the servant of the master said, I be in the way, in the right way, in the Lord's way. Where did the Lord lead me? To the house of my master's brethren. And I'm going to tell you what a blessing for us to be in the house of our master's brethren even today.
Amen.
What a glorious blessing that we don't need to take for granted. The servant of the master didn't take it for granted. But when he realized the Lord had answered his prayer, when he realized he had been led to the house of his master's brethren, he immediately fell upon his knees and he worshiped the Lord, saying, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
May we never cease to be thankful that the Lord has led us to the house of our master's brethren, that he's blessed us and led us in the right way. So he comes, and again, for the sake of time, I'll summarize, but the servant of the master meets Rebekah's brother, Laban. When Laban sees the riches upon Rebekah, he realizes they're special. In verse 31, he tells the servant of the master, he says, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I prepare the house and room for thy camels, for the camels. Notice he says, come thou blessed of the Lord. There was something special about the riches he saw on Rebekah, which was from the husband she had never seen. And I'm going to tell you, the riches of the kingdom of God are special.
Mm.
And people ought to be able to look at our lives and see they've got some riches that are not of this world. But they're carrying some riches in his life, in their life, that could only come from the Lord. And that ought to show in the way we live our lives. That ought to show in the things we do and the things we don't do.
Yes.
When he saw the riches, he said, they've been blessed of the Lord. The Lord Jesus would say, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he goeth and selleth all that he has, and he buys the field. That's how precious the riches of the kingdom are. So he goes to the house, and everything that he needs is in the house, and in the Father's house there's great abundance, and they gave straw and provender for his camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him, but he said, I'll not eat until I've told mine Aaron. And he said, speak on. So here's the servant of the master. He's again been 500 miles, not on good paved roads like we came over from Mississippi to here. 500 miles over hills, over valleys, through streams, through rivers, over mountains, through rough terrain. 500 miles on camels. Question, you think he's hungry? I think he's hungry.
Yeah.
We have a saying in Mississippi, if you're a little hungry, you say you're hungry. If you're real hungry, you say you're hungry.
Yeah.
I think this servant was hungry.
Yeah.
But he refuses to eat until he's told his message. Because there was something more important than the hunger he felt in his stomach. And it was that the message of the master should be told.
Praise
you know, God. Hunger is one of the strongest drives we have. I mean, if we're really hungry, we're going to do something generally to satisfy that hunger.
Yeah.
But there's something more important. And it's the message of the master.
Right.
And he said, I'm not going to eat till I've told my Aaron. And again, he tells about how great his master is, and he's become great, and the Lord's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And he recounts all that's happened about Abraham saying, "You go and find a wife for my son Isaac." And he recounts all that's happened. And then he finishes speaking. He's told how the Lord has answered his prayer and how the Lord's prospered his way. And the specific prayer that he prayed and how God specifically answered that prayer. And then he's waiting on Daddy to speak. What's Daddy going to say? What about it? "Daddy, are you going to let me take your daughter 500 miles away with me, a man you're just now meeting, to marry a man she's never met?" Listen to what Bethuel says. Verse 50. "Then Laban and Bethuel answered," this is brother and father, "the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son wife, as the Lord hath spoken." Now you think about the faith that Bethuel had and Laban had in saying that. It was plain from them, from what the servant of the master had said, that God had clearly revealed his will. Yes. And he's willing to stake his daughter's life on it.
Yeah.
And said, "This has come from the Lord. What can I say?"
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, when the Lord clearly reveals his will for our lives through his word or through the preached word, we always want to make sure that we think what we feel burdened to do, that the Lord wants us to do, is consistent with his word, because the Lord doesn't contradict himself. But I'll tell you, we should have such faith in that, that if it means the risking of the life of those most close to us, that we're willing to say, "God said it."
Yeah.
And what can I say?
That is
I just need to believe it, and I need to walk in it.
Mm. Amen.
They went, and Mama's over there thinking, and verse 55, and Laban's thinking, he's like, "Well, yeah, she can go, but let her stay just at least 10 days with us before she goes." And the servant of the master, verse 56, says, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way and sent me away that I may go to my master." He said, "Don't hinder me." You know, the Lord's, from an eternal standpoint, the Lord in choosing us before the foundation of the world and dying for us on the cross and saving us for heaven, that can never, ever be hindered.
Yeah.
Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, all walking in discipleship for the Lord and following after the Lord, it can be hindered. And the servant of the master said, "Don't hinder her from coming with me. Don't hinder my journey." And I hope by the grace of God that God would bless me to not be a hinderer, but that I would be a helper. And I pray that for all of us, that we'd be helpers, not hinderers. And so they said, "Well, go ask Rebekah." She said, "Will thou go with this man now?" She said, "I'll go." Rebekah was ready to go. The Lord had made his will plain, and Rebekah's willing to walk in that will and to do what it was plain that the Lord had desired for her to do. And she does it. And she does it quickly. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou mother of thousands of millions." Says, "We're praying for you to have a big family, Rebekah. We're praying for you to have a lot of children, and that your seed will be blessed, and they'll possess the gate of those that hate them. We're going to bless your life to be one of joy and one of victory." And Rebekah arose and her damsel, and they followed. And they rode upon the camels and followed the man.
And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lehi-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. So here, Rebekah's gone back with this man she's never met, traveling back those 500 miles.
Yep.
Over mountains and hills and valleys and streams. What do you think she's thinking about on the journey? She's thinking about seeing Isaac.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see my husband. I've gotten riches from him. But my eyes have never seen him. And she's waiting to see him. Here's Isaac on the other side. The Bible said he went out to meditate in the field at eventime. And I believe he's out there praying. And he's out there, the Bible tells us, by the well Lehi-roi, which literally means the well of the living one.
Yeah.
Seeing me. Now we serve a God of an empty tomb. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not dead in the grave, but he rose again the third day. He is the living God. The Apostle Paul would write unto the young preacher Timothy, and he'd say, I hope to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the, listen, living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We serve a living God. And here's Isaac at the well of the living one.
Yeah.
God Almighty, the living God.
Yeah.
But not just that, he's the well of the living one, seeing me. Do you ever feel not seen? Do you ever feel like the world doesn't see you? That the world carries so little about you they don't even see you? I'm going to tell you, we worship one, our kingly husband. He sees us. The well of the living one seen me. He knows all about us. And the very hairs of our head are numbered. And he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And here's Isaac waiting to see Rebekah. And he's praying at the well of the living one who sees me. And then the day comes that they have waited for so long. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. The previous verse, it said, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventime, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. So Rebekah's lifted up her eyes. Isaac's lifted up his eyes. And for the first time, their eyes meet.
Yeah.
I don't think Isaac was looking for the camels. I think he was looking for the bride that was riding on the camels.
Yes, he was.
For the first time, she lifted up her eyes. And he lifted up his eyes. And the bride saw the bridegroom.
Yes.
We as the bride of Christ are traveling through life over many hills and many valleys and many rivers and many streams. Sometimes our ways have been high on the mountains. Sometimes they've been low in the valley. We've been waiting. We've been blessed with riches from a husband we know loves us, but these eyes have not seen. One sweet day, Jesus is coming again. We'll see our bridegroom face to face, and we'll lift up our eyes. And he'll come with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and we'll lift up our eyes. Luke would say, when these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And for the first time in our life, these eyes will see our bridegroom, our husband, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer. And our eyes will look up, and his eyes are looking at us, and our gaze will meet. And we'll see the one face to face.
Amen.
That has loved us so much. And the servant said, it's my master. She took a veil and she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac, all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took her home. What's the Lord coming back to do? He's going to take us home. We'll be with him forever and ever. Said, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Said, Isaac loved her. You know, this is the first time in the scripture where the word love is specifically mentioned of a husband loving his wife.
Yeah.
Do I believe Adam loved Eve? Yes. Do I believe some of those others loved their wives? Yes. But this is no accident.
No.
That the first time in the Bible that it's spoken of the particular word love is Isaac loving Rebecca is really a story about a greater love story. Of the Lord Jesus Christ loving us, his bride. And I look forward to that day.
Yeah.
Till then, may we be found in the way, in the right way, serving the Lord, enjoying the riches of the kingdom. Until that day, when we look up, and there he is. He comes and he takes us home. God bless you, is my prayer.
Amen. Amen.